This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Happy Tuesday. The draft inching closer, but still 2 weeks and 2 days away. That's right, 16 days until the kickoff of the NFL draft, May the 8th in New York City. Nathan Zagora along with Michael Regei filling in for Vic Carucci here all week long on CBD. We've got a very good show lined up for you today. We're going to continue to talk about, obviously, some focus on the draft, some focus as well as on the plans of the Browns, and a lot of stuff from around the National Football League. Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be with us at 1:30. At 2 o'clock, we will go on the blitz around the NFL, talking to Nick Wagoner, the Rams beat writer for ESPN.com from St. Louis. We will talk to him. Then we will talk to Liz Matthews, the Seahawks beat reporter for ESPN 710 in Seattle, about the Seahawks, who just acquired Terrell Pryor in a trade, also reportedly working on an extension with Richard Sherman. We know what that's like, as the Browns are rumored to be working on an extension right now with Joe Hayden, two of the better young corners in the National Football League. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior NFL columnist, will be with us at 2:20 in the second hour. He lives in Jacksonville, has his finger on the pulse of what the Jags are thinking. We'll find out what he believes the Jacksonville Jaguars will do at number 3 overall. Also play a little after further review with Mr. Regei, which will be a lot of fun. And, of course, we will be involving you. 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board with the show. We'll talk about whatever you want. You can tweet the show at Browns_daily. But our big topic today, I think, one of the things I want to talk about is, we know, Reg, that this quarterback issue is out there for the Browns. How do they approach that? That we know we're drafting one. We're drafting one probably early. I still stand by my stance that I've been saying for a while, not at 4, but 1 early. So the question is, do you add a second quarterback in the draft, what the Redskins did the year that they drafted RG3, and draft 2 quarterbacks, or do you think the team goes and grabs another veteran free agent? That'll be a big topic today. We'll get our input and yours as well. But Reg, first of all, let me just say, it is great to be with you, brother.
As always, my man. Nathan, good to hear from you. And we've got an exciting show today, as you just laid it out. This rundown, I think, is going to go from hither to yon with everything involved draft-wise, free agent-wise, and the way the Browns philosophically, and maybe even we'll get into some of the AFC North, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, how they have systematically looked to put their football teams in motion going forward. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. Got a great guest group coming in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete Prisco, always fun to talk to. He's out in California, so I don't know what he's doing out there, but I'm sure he's getting into something yeah. fun, and we'll chop up with that about him. But before we get into any of this football stuff, I just want to talk about, because I've been seeing these comments, and I feel like every other week Mike Holmgren can't help himself but talk about the Cleveland Browns. And this week in the Monday morning quarterback column at mmqbsi.com, Peter King's new football website, he said, and I quote Mike Holmgren, "I just should have coached the team, but he," speaking about owner Randy Lerner, "didn't want me to." But that isn't even the truth. Back in 2011, Holmgren said he had the opportunity, carte blanche, to do what he wanted, and said he didn't want to coach. What is his deal, Reg? Why is he still talking about the Browns? Oh, just stop talking about the Browns, Mike Holmgren.
Yeah.
You got your money. You took a good deal of money. Just be happy that you have it.
Yeah, Nathan, and as we go back over that, you know, that became such a day-to-day cause around here. And you're right. Now, I will say that I do think initially that Randy Lerner looked upon, remember, that was during the period of time that Randy was going very hard in Europe with Aston Villa, right? And was putting together some of his soccer endeavors. I do believe that Randy was looking for the experience of Mike Holmgren to be, yes, somewhat like the de facto owner and all of the things that entailed as a president of the football team. So did Randy Lerner, though, actually ever say to Mike Holmgren, "No, I don't want you to coach the football team"? Well, now we're getting into a gray area, Nathan. I kind of doubt that happened. I always wondered if Holmgren looked at it at the time with what the roster was like as he walked in, And as we remember, we referred to yesterday how Eric Mangini had brought in so many, shall we say, older of the tooth veterans from his New York Jets days, that maybe Holmgren felt it's going to take a couple of years to get this to the point. And Nathan, what I don't know, and like your thoughts on it as well, because of, we will say this, Holmgren as a head football coach, Hall of Fame possibilities, correct?
Of course.
Just a head football coach now. I'm not talking about him as a GM or as the president of the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Head football coach Mike Holmgren is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Do you think there was anything there that he said, you know, wait a minute, I don't know if I can get this football team turned that quickly, even if I am on the sidelines, and maybe that might have been looked at if he took it on for a couple of years. They go 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, a bit of a stain on that what was an impeccable head coaching career?
It's possible, but when you look at the fact that his last year as a coach, he went 4-12 in Seattle, coming off of basically being a winner pretty much every other year, you would think maybe he wanted to get that taste out of his mouth. I would think as a competitor, you don't want to go out on your low note. I'd much rather George Costanza go out on a high note. So to me, if he wanted to do it, and now he's having the, I should have done it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's throwing the coach, you know, Shermer under the bus. I don't know exactly what he's trying to do with that. But the guy got a lot of money. Just leave Cleveland alone. I don't think there's anything positive that people want to say about Mike Holmgren's time in Cleveland. You make a great point. Prior to Cleveland, great job as a head coach. Fantastic in Green Bay. Very solid in Seattle. But he did very little for this town. And to keep – I don't know why he feels compelled to continue to talk about the Cleveland Browns. I think it's maybe he's got some guilt, some overriding guilt about taking $40 million and delivering nothing. Maybe that's what it is.
But maybe. And then just nagging at him, as you said, maybe. And down deep, maybe he has, you know, had that moment where a lot of staring in the mirror, and now 4 years, 3 years removed, Nathan, he realizes, yeah, damn it, I should have coached that football team and done what I do best. Again, I won't take away from him. I didn't pile on him heavily about the presidential thing here with the Browns, Nathan, because we do know that Randy Lerner, indeed, as I mentioned, you know, wanted him to assume all of those roles, go to the owners' meetings.
Sure.
And that's a given. We know that. And if Mike Holmgren used that as a deterrent to stay away from the coaching sidelines, yeah, maybe he's got a little bit of remorse about that as he's removed himself now for a couple of years. But I always had a great deal of respect for Mike Holmgren, the football coach, Nathan.
And, I agree.
And that'll always stay intact.
I agree. I'm just saying at this point, talk to your therapist about what you should have done. Don't keep talking about the
That's a novel
problem.
Idea, yeah.
Right? Exactly. That's why those people are in business.
Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to get that out there because it's just – it's almost, it seems like it's a weekly thing now that he's talking about this or that, his thoughts on quarterbacks. Come on.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, too, now, I'll get your thought on this. I firmly believe, and, you know, I was on record, I really was and liked the job. Sure, he had some misses. There's no question about it. And I'm not trying to say it was an over-the-top elite job. But I think that Tom Hecker did a good, strong, solid job here. Now, the caveat to that is I really believe Tom would never come out and say it publicly, but I really believe that it was Mike Holmgren who made the quarterback selections, Colt McCoy and then Brandon Whedon.
Yeah, and yes, I would agree.
What I'm trying to say is I'm not sure that that Heckert would have, if he was left to do it on his own accord, would have gone in those same directions.
I definitely think it's true on the Whedon one.
Yes.
I definitely think that that was kind of a panic situation where they said, we better get a quarterback to save our jobs. And unfortunately, when you go back and look at that draft class, they picked the
not
wrong
the
one.
Not the right one, yeah.
The wrong
one. The wrong
one,
yeah.
Brandon Whedon. But again, that leads us to one of our topics for today, which is the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I am certainly, and you have said it, you're on record as well, don't think that the quarterback happens at four. It will happen early. The question is, do the Browns take two quarterbacks in this draft, or do they take a quarterback in the draft and add a veteran free agent? Now, not a lot of great names out there in the veteran free agent market. Obviously, the one name that people keep coming back to, just given his relationship with Kyle Shanahan, is Rex Grossman.
Right.
Because he's a clear number three quarterback. He's not going to come in and ruffle the feathers, be kind of like a coach in a helmet, help the players familiarize themselves with Kyle Shanahan's offense. And if they do draft a quarterback early that is at least able to compete with Brian Hoyer to be the starter, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, no question about that at all. And then we get to the, would you be interested? And Browns fans, we're asking you this. And, of course, you know how to get us at Browns_Daily to get the show on Twitter and also at 216-578-0850. But, Nathan, you know, I'll say so right now. I got to tell you, I have no problem with if they decide, if they feel like they've hit and they've gone in all the directions they've wanted as they get into rounds 5 and 6 and 7. And I don't know, we see it all the time. I don't know if a Logan Thomas piques their interest, right, from Virginia Tech.
Yep.
I don't think Taj Boyd would still be around that late, but you get my drift here. I have no problem at all if they decide lower rounds that they want to bring in a second young quarterback as well that they feel has developmental positives attached to him. No problem with that at all. Fact, I kind of think I lean toward that, Nathan, that I would like to see that happen, and maybe in round 6-7.
Yeah, right. If you go with two, go with one later on, and I'm glad you brought up Logan Thomas because I wanted to talk about him today.
Okay.
Out of Virginia Tech. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see Greg Cosell's article that he just wrote about Logan Thomas. And Greg Cosell, to me, I respect him very much.
One of the guys, yep.
Great film studier, one of the best watching tape, and wrote a very interesting article about Logan Thomas, calling him the case for Logan Thomas as the NFL draft's most intriguing quarterback prospect, with the subheadline, more pro-ready than Cam Newton in 2011. Which, and he even says, when you read the first sentence, don't laugh, just go through the exercise with me. And the article's available at yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is an interesting one. He basically says that Thomas is a little bit better of a passer, a little bit more NFL ready as a passer than Cam Newton was in 2011. Now, he goes through all of the issues with Logan Thomas. He is raw. He's unrefined. He's got more questions than answers, and he's not necessarily a quote-unquote winner the level that Cam Newton was. In fact, not even close, but he does make the case that this is somebody that in the late rounds, if you were to draft a quarterback to be, say, your project, who could end up ultimately paying huge dividends. And I'm glad you brought up Thomas because, to me, if you go with, let's say at the beginning, whether it be a Bridgewater, a Manziel, along with Hoyer, or whether you wait a little bit, no matter who it is, Murray, if you wait even later than that, to get a guy that is a little bit different in what he brings to the table, a different style of athlete, a different style of build, a different style of arm in a Logan Thomas, I would prefer taking a shot on him, for example, more than Tom Savage, who doesn't offer the athletic upside. And by the way, if Thomas flames out, I think you could maybe try to make him play a little flex tight end for you.
Get him in another position.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
I like Thomas.
I've always been intrigued, even going back to his sophomore season, by Logan Thomas. You know, you can make a case, Nathan, that a couple of years ago, you remember the splash that he made under Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech, and I was thinking that he was going to be one of the main thrust of top five, you know, quarterbacking prospects when
sure.
he decided to come out. He's, you know, he's so big, you know, at 6'6 and over 250 pounds. And, you know, you kind of think, huh, did this turn out to be Jared Lorenzen? Remember Lorenzen?
Oh, yes.
From back in the day.
Have you seen him recently, by the way?
What's that?
The hefty lefty.
The hefty lefty? Was he about three bells now?
At least. He looks like he ate a lineman. He's like playing, I don't know if he's in Canada, where he is, but I saw a picture of it. It was shocking.
Yeah, well, but I was very intrigued by Thomas, and I'm with you. And although I didn't read the article you referenced from Greg Cosell, but I sure will. And it seems to me, in doing some conversations, as we all do around the NFL, that this guy, Logan Thomas, is highly thought of, although I don't know, there's always surprises, but I can't see it being before round 4, Nathan. It might even be lower than that. So there's got to be some, I don't know, maybe there's red flags about the young man, but he could be very, very intriguing. And, yeah, that's an area I wouldn't mind the Browns going down at all with a lower round pick.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I wouldn't mind it one bit. And if because really when you look at the free agent quarterbacks that are left, it really is only
there's nothing there.
There's nobody there.
No, there's nothing there that intrigues you.
Right.
And
so,
and you're right. Everybody just assumes that, you know, not only has Rex Grossman, what did he start? He started for a year and a half in Washington with the Skins. I want to say, I know because of injury, I think he, I'd have to look. I think he got 13, 14 starts one season, went right around 500, I believe.
Yeah, and actually was top 10 in the league. And that was a top 10 in the league passing offense, believe it or not.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. That's the one that's naturally associated because of Kyle Shanahan now being here. But I also agree with you, Ed, too. I mean, you look around, and there's not much there that you're going to bring in. And if you're looking at someone to even mentor a Brian Hoyer, you don't even really see that either.
Right.
So I've got no problem with the opportunity or the want of Ray Farmer to go ahead. Sure, if it's two quarterbacks, absolutely, so be it in the draft.
And the way that I look at it as well is, you know, if it comes to you, it comes to you. And if it doesn't, I think you're always going to have the shot at Grossman.
Yes. You're
always going to be able to come back to Rex Grossman if you need to.
It's not just an assumption. We know that Grossman has been very, very positive and in his comments about Kyle Shanahan and wanting or would desire to work with him again in the National Football League. So
absolutely.
If you need that fallback, it's probably going to be there.
It's not a bad safety net as a third quarterback offense. And that's what you're looking for there.
Yep.
But I'm with you. I think if the opportunity presents itself in the draft to get a prospect that you think can develop at a cheap price later in the draft, like a Logan Thomas, for example, why not go ahead and take two quarterbacks? But what do you guys think? That's what we want to know. 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_Daily. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.